Hey everyone, it's Ellen Rogan, and I'm your host of today's edition of Horse's Mouth Advisor Radio, and as always, I'm here to interview guests who have great information to help you be more successful in every area of your life, especially your business. And today we're going to talk about podcasting. I have a huge expert on this who named Ben Kruger, who I'm going to tell you about in a second. But the idea is that more and more people are using podcasting as a way to grow businesses, grow your influence. And I'm really excited to be able to explore this topic more with Ben. So let me give you a little scoop on him. Ben Kruger is a podcast strategist who helps people deepen their impact, expand their audience, and be heard by thousands of people every day using podcasting. Through his done-for-you service and coaching, he's helped businesses in all sorts of industries, certainly in the financial services industry, to become industry leaders and celebrity authorities through using the power of podcasting. On a side note, he's a world traveler, an outdoor sports junkie, and the founder and chief podcast marketing strategist at his company, Cashflow Podcasting. He's coming with us today from Mexico, where he's living over the summer, to share his proven strategies and approach for using podcasting as an effective marketing channel for your business. Welcome, Ben.
Whew, well, thank you, Ellen. I'm excited to be here. This is going to be a fun chat.
Yeah, I'm so excited too. So I just want to dig right in and talk to you about, like, how do you tell if podcasting is really the right channel for you? Is this a strategy that makes sense for someone's business?
Yeah, I love this question because it starts with the right kind of frame of mind. You know, anybody, especially financial advisors, people in the financial space, time is money. You've got so many things going on already, and you generally, you know, all the blog posts of 8 things you can do to grow your business, and there's all these different options of approaches that you can take. And so my general philosophy is to pick, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 of these approaches and really go deep with the ones that are the best suited for you, and don't waste your time on the rest until, you know, you've kind of got systems in place to where you can run these things efficiently. And so you're not running around like a chicken with your head cut off. So with podcasting particularly, I think it's important for people to recognize that all podcasting really is just recorded audio that somebody can listen to on their own time. So you can think of it a lot like a radio show, but where it's essentially different is that instead of a radio show where you have to be listening to the radio at the specific time, that specific day of the week, somebody can actually go through the backlog of your episodes, pick whatever episodes they want to listen to, and listen to it on their own time while they're walking the dog, while they're, you know, on their drive to work, whatever is convenient for them. So it's a on-demand audio platform. So where that is a little bit different and kind of how this ties back into telling whether it's the right marketing channel for you is what it's up against, really, is blog and written-based content as well as video-based content and things like direct response marketing and some of the other channels for marketing your business and getting the word about what you do out there. So the two areas where it's really easy to tell whether podcasting is the right move for you is it tends to be very effective for people who have incredibly valuable knowledge and a valuable message to share with people, as well as a valuable network of people built up around them that they can interview, that they can extract knowledge from and share with an audience. So that's kind of one side of it. But also, it makes a big difference as a potential podcaster, and is really important that you enjoy talking about and sharing your expertise, sharing what you know and helping people through your knowledge. If those are two things that, you know, you're kind of mentally checking off those two boxes, then we're probably having the right conversation here, because podcasting tends to work really well for those types of folks. Now, where business comes in, podcasting tends to work really well for businesses that are based around a topic where somebody wants to continually learn, understand, grow in a skill set, or, you know, kind of develop a skill set around. So topics that are not, you know, easily explained in kind of a little blog post or something, and that involve coming back for more, so that with podcasting, you can have a whole bunch of different content topics, different talking points to get through, and it engages people over a long period of time, allows you to build some trust with them. So it really kind of focuses in on these areas where there's a skill set or there's something to be understood and to learn more about. And so that really ties nicely in with the whole financial piece. But then the other side from a business perspective is where a client is worth $1,000 or more lifetime value to the business. If a client is worth significant enough value to the business, we don't need a very big audience to create a thriving, very profitable business on the back end of sharing the knowledge and information through a podcast. We don't have to have the same audience as some of these huge podcasts out there. We only need a small targeted audience of our potential prospects, and we can do really well with that. So that's kind of the how I tend to think about it on, you know, one, the personal side of things, but then two, also the business side of things. And it taps in really nicely with most financial-based businesses.
Yeah, for sure. We can check off the box of wanting to build trust, wanting to build expertise, being able to, you know, a client is worth a fair amount of money, return on investment. So I'm so curious about this whole area of podcasting, because all of a sudden it seems like there's this huge explosion of them. And so, you know, why is this, with if we look at video and blogging and all these other things, why, and social media too, and not that they're mutually exclusive, but why is podcasting a good strategy for people now?
Yeah, podcasting is an interesting beast because there's kind of two sides of the whole why podcasting question. There's, you know, what does it do strategically? What does it allow you to do strategically? And then also, like, what's happening to the podcasting medium itself? Is it growing? Is it, you know, are people actually engaging with it? What is this whole podcasting thing? And where is it different from, let's say, having a radio show or, you know, having a YouTube channel or any other, you know, insert all the other options here. From the strategy side of things, it's really a tool that allows you to build huge credibility and trust with an audience. It allows you to have exposure to new audiences and kind of build goodwill in your market, as well as it's an opportunity for you to get your foot in the door for potential strategic alliances. So there's a couple of ways we can go about this. But what I've found actually is these are particular challenge areas for the financial professional industry. You know, a lot of challenges are around, how do I get more exposure? How do I build my authority so that people trust trust what I'm saying and view me as a credible source of information? How do I get my message out to more people? And how do I leverage what's super valuable to me, which is my time, so that I'm, you know, effectively getting my message out there? And these are all things that podcasting is really, really effective at. Now, on the other side of this question is, you know, what makes podcasting different from a, you know, is it growing? Is it falling away? You know, what does that look like? Well, podcasting is interesting in that it's been growing year over year for about the last 4 years in listenership within the U.S. and worldwide. And podcast listeners are actually significantly affluent. So 28% of worldwide listeners have an annual household income of $100,000 or more. And so people who are consistently listening to podcasts tend to be affluent. They're also tend to be educated, and they're continual learners. So 22% have four-year degrees. And as part of this, 61% of podcast listeners report buying something that they heard about on a podcast, whether through a sponsorship or through the podcaster's own products or services, whatever they have to offer. So it's actually been shown to be a really effective marketing tool for reaching affluent people, educated people, and building that trust, building a relationship with them, getting that exposure. And then when the listeners are ready to start working with somebody around their finances, you know, you're the person that they've already built a relationship with, that they understand, that they know, like, and trust, so that they can go to. So a lot of those stats come from the Edison Research Podcast Consumer Report that's updated every year. So I'm always itching, you know, every year when those come out to just see how does this growth continue.
You know, it's, I hadn't thought about before you just mentioned this. You know, in the past, if you were on to get kind of credibility, like years ago, I used to write for the local paper, or I've gotten PR and I can leverage it and say, okay, I've been, you know, wherever, on CNBC or on PBS NewsHour or wherever it's been. But it seems to me you'd have similar kind of credibility and build your expertise by doing your own podcast, and you're not being reactive or having to pay a big PR company to get that for you. It's something you can do on your own. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's very similar as well to, you know, a lot of financial professionals have a deal with the local radio station to where they can have a radio segment. And so they get a little bit of authority by being able to say, you know, oh, I'm a regular radio show host or contributor over at, you know, WNBC or whatever local radio station. So it's very similar. There's always these credibility indicators that people naturally respond to. And so these are things like being an author and having authored books, being a public speaker, or being featured and promoted or sponsored by other trusted agencies and groups, as well as hosting your own podcast. It really sets you up as someone who is knowledgeable, someone who is an advisor and is worth listening to and is trustable. And that just gets people in the door to have a conversation with you from a place of elevated status. You're immediately on a different playing field than someone that they've never heard of before, mm-hmm. because you have a, you know, most listened to podcast in iTunes, or, you know, whatever the title may be. It adds some instant credibility there.
Yeah, I've kind of loved this, being part of Horse's Mouth Advisor Radio for as many years as I have. You know, I'll go and speak at a conference, and I'll have someone come up to me who I've never met, who's listened to the show before. I've gotten an introduction to speak somewhere, and the person will say, oh, I've heard of Ellen, and I can't figure out how they've heard of me until I think, well, they're probably a Horse's Mouth subscriber or listen to the podcast. So it's a really fun way and a powerful way to expand your influence or your credibility. I love that. So,
yeah. And do you mind if, you know, Ellen, I noticed, because I've had this same conversation with a lot of our clients after they've been podcasting for a little while. They get people coming up to them at conferences. And the thing that's interesting is these people really know you. Like, they really... they know stuff about you. They know, you know, they've been listening to you for a while, and they come up as if they're friends, or as if they, you know, can walk right up to you and talk to you, even though you've never had any one-on-one time with those individuals before.
Yeah, it's similar to, you know, when I started my advisory practice and I did a lot of speaking to get clients, people, it's a really soft, like a warm lead when they come in. Same thing. They feel like they have a sense of who you are. It's really an interesting phenomena where, mm-hmm. I don't know what you call that. It's kind of like a one-way friendship because you have no idea who they are.
I think phenomena is the right word. I like
okay.
that.
Okay. So, then if someone, you know, is looking at, okay, how do I not just have a podcast, but make it successful? What are some of the keys that they should be thinking about?
Yeah, and I love this because we're starting with a clear idea of what we're trying to achieve. We're starting with the end in mind, and I think that's really important. So When it comes to podcasting, there's a few kind of core foundational keys that I've seen across the board make a huge difference between shows that are really effective and shows that, you know, they get out there, they have a few listens, but they don't actually turn into much. So one is really having a clear understanding of exactly who your audience is. Who is your podcast for? And then always putting that person or that avatar, putting their interests first when you're creating content or making decisions about the podcast. So if you start thinking about, should I have this guest on? What should I do with my, should we talk about this type of content or should we talk about this topic? You can always then go back to, this is my core audience. What would serve them best? So it's really this mindset of service to one, core central audience. And what's handy is you can set that audience up to be your best five-star prospects. These are the people who you want to be working with most. They're, you know, maybe the highest paying clients, the folks who you can help most, you know, who you can get the best results for, as well as the people that you really personally get a lot of enjoyment from assisting or helping out with what you do. So from the very get-go, we can plan on creating the podcast for our very best clients to attract those very best clients. And then whenever we're thinking about different questions about the podcast, we always refer back to what serves them best, what would be most interesting to them. And then kind of the third element here is when the host of the podcast, you know, in this case, Ellen, that would be yourself, is acting curiously on your audience's behalf. That was a weird way to say that. But you act with your audience's best interest in mind by being curious the same way that your audience would be. So you would ask the questions of the interview guest that your audience is dying to find out about that topic or about that person's expertise. So this takes care of making sure that your content is really great and, you know, makes it really easy to get good content over and over and over again because you're actively curious on your audience's behalf. And this really positions you as an advocate for your audience and as somebody who can essentially become the resource center for your audience. And that's what we're looking to be, is a trusted advisor.
For sure. Okay, so being a curious advocate on my audience's behalf, I want to go back to this idea that you mentioned when we first were talking about whether podcasting is right for you. You said, you know, you want to make sure there's a valuable, that you have a valuable message and expertise to share and that you have a network to help share that. And you also talked about strategic alliances or centers of influence, bringing those people in. Can we talk a little bit more about what kind of guests make sense to bring in and whether it should be, like, I've listened to podcasts where it's just one person talking, kind of giving a little mini lecture, but I've also more often had listened when there's someone being interviewed. So talk a little bit more, if you will, about what kind of guests make sense to bring in and if someone, how someone knows if they have the right kind of network to be a good podcaster.
Yeah, perfect. And they're really, you know, I'm glad that you brought this up because there's kind of two styles or formats of podcasting that tend to be working really well right now and that are a good fit for folks like yourself or other audio professionals. There's really the solo hosted podcast or co-hosted podcast where it's just you or it's just you and a co-host. And typically this is more educational content or, like you said, like a mini lecture or advice based content, to where you're talking about a particular concept, you're talking about a particular lesson, and you're sharing what you've, you know, the knowledge that you've gathered as an expert to your audience. And this is, this type of podcast positions you really well as an advisor, as someone who is in an advisory role in that relationship, and is perfect for listeners out there who are looking for a way to learn and to really kind of get a solid grasp for this topic for themselves. Now, The other model, and this is kind of how Horse's Mouth works, is a typically interview-based podcast. This is where you, Ellen, you know, go around to other industry experts and extract the expertise and information, as well as, you know, deep and meaningful stories from those types of folks. And that's where the content really comes from. And you get to be the curious one on your audience's behalf. So this tends to position you as the person who is well-networked in the industry. You're immediately credible because of all these other credible people that you are on the air with and performing interviews with. And it really positions you as a resource center. So for the listeners out there thinking, you know, this podcasting thing's pretty interesting, I'm not sure if I would go the hosted, you know, it would just be me, or if I would do an interview-based show. Typically, I find that there's a few questions that make it really easy to decide which way to go. One is, think from your audience's perspective of, you know, we're kind of going back to that whole think from your five-star prospect's perspective again. What serves them the best for what I want to, you know, the information that I want to share with them, and the information that they are interested in learning from me and getting from connecting with my brand, but also what aligns with my personal interests and talents and what I have at my disposal. So if you have a killer network, you've been in the industry for a long time, and you know quite a few people that you can send an email or hop on a phone call and have fantastic podcast guests, it would make a lot of sense to do an interview-based show. If you have built a lot of expertise and you have a particular voice or a particular angle that you would really like to share with folks that they would be really interested in, and you prefer to take more the advisor role, and you are confident that there's enough content that you can continually talk and educate people over time without feeling like you're running out of content topics, because that's one question that I get pretty frequently, and we can touch on kind of how to go about that if you want. But then for folks in that scenario, a solo hosted show might be a little bit better fit for you. So those are two kind of ways that I like to think about it. But at its core, if you're thinking about a content topic, or if you're thinking about an interview guest, and you're trying to decide, is this person going to be a good fit for my audience? The core question that I always come back to is, you know, will the content that comes out of this conversation be really helpful and valuable to my audience? And if you operate from that frame of mind, you can't really go wrong.
What I love from a, if you decide to go on the interview other people standpoint, and you're saying if you have a rocking network of people, it's also a fabulous way to build a network. So there's people I run across that are unbelievable experts in their area. I wouldn't necessarily need to hire them or be one of their prospects, but if I can bring them on the show and have them, like you, for example, share incredible information with the listeners, it not only serves, hopefully beautifully, the people tuning in and listening, but also builds a relationship with the expert that you bring in, which is such a great way to build your business. I mean, my always, every business I've had has been grown because I'm really focused on how I can serve either the people I'm directly serving or the people in my network. And it always flows back, and not always even from that same person, right?
Yeah, and it's an incredible way to get or to have an introduction to someone with actually you're leading with value. So, you know, if you reached out to, you know, some other professional in your network, to say, you know, hey, can I buy you a coffee and pick your brain? I think that's a super common one. And you can immediately recognize that that person wants something, or that person is interested in starting the conversation, but there's no real value there particularly. It's just a conversation. Whereas if you can reach out to them and say, you know, hey, I've been hosting this podcast for a couple months. We get so many downloads, and I would love to interview you and feature you and your expertise to my audience. Would you be interested in hopping on a phone call to have a little podcast interview? How much of a difference is that as a proposal than, you know, hey, can we grab coffee and I can pick your brain? And that gives you the foot in the door to then have a deeper conversation, whether that's about strategic alliances or just building out your network and different introductions that can be made. So there's a lot of value to be had from those connections and leading with a valuable offer of, hey, let's do a podcast interview so I can kind of highlight you and your expertise to my audience. Because, you know, if you think about that, if somebody reached out to you with that proposal, that's a much nicer and much more exciting proposal than, hey, let's grab coffee and have a chat.
Great. That's so perfect and 100% makes sense. So let's turn this back to, okay, you have a podcast and you're feeling good about it. You have good guests on. You figured out how to do it. How do you actually generate clients through podcasting?
Great question. And it comes down to podcasting is a content strategy. So at its core foundation, the idea is to have a place where you can connect with audience members, build trust with them, connect with them on a personal level, educate them. And when they are ready to take the next step, AKA, you know, book a consultation call or you know, have the next conversation with you, then they can step forward when they're ready. And you don't have to be the person that is kind of pushing on them your offer. So, you know, I've found that in across all the different industries, when you look at the number of people that visit a website or the number of people that engage with a company's social media campaigns or that go to conferences, most of those visitors are really good prospects. They're already interested in that topic. They're doing some initial research or they're at a conference. But most of those folks will not be ready to buy right away. They won't be ready to buy in the first, you know, 1 to 2 weeks. They won't be those, you know, 9 or 10 out of 10 prospects that you're looking for to have conversations with right away. So where podcasting becomes a really valuable tool is it's your way to actually engage with those people over a consistent period of time. Market to the vast majority of people who discover you but aren't ready to buy just yet, and you get to build trust, you get to build goodwill and your credibility so that when they're ready to take the next step, they can do so. And so this can largely be set up to be pretty streamlined. So one study that I recently read says that 81% of prospects buy after the fifth follow-up with a company. So podcasting gives you an easy strategy to have consistent follow-up in a non-pushy way, in a really educational and trust-building way, so that when they're ready, you know, you're not only top of mind, but you've also been building a relationship with them. You've been kind of positioning yourself as an advisor for them. So it helps turn those folks who discover you that are, you know, they're just getting into the process. They're just starting to do the research. They're ones or twos out of a 10 scale, you know, of lead hotness. You know, they're not ready to make any big moves, but it allows you to capture those folks, capture their interest and their intent and help them become 9 or 10 prospects over time. So in short, it turns more of the people that you connect with into customers over the long term without any real additional effort on your behalf beyond recording and releasing episodes on a continual basis. And the typical alternative that I see in a lot of these industries is a canned newsletter type of communication, which definitely keeps you top of mind, but not in a very positive way that really positions you as an expert or as somebody who advises them and doesn't really move them forward in the buying process along the way by educating them. So podcasting does a lot of that heavy lifting for you in a much more personal and much more intimate format.
Yeah, and intimate format, they get your personality, they get who you are, where a written canned, or even if it's not canned, newsletter, I don't think can communicate the same thing. And the other interesting thing to me is that it's there when they're ready, because people, I've found, at least in my practice, that there usually has to be some reason that people come in. They've gone through some kind of transition. They've had a big birthday. They've had some life event. It's not just they wake up one day, once in a while, and say, hey, I need a financial planner. I need a new financial advisor. So in particular for our industry, that you're there for them when they're ready makes so much sense. So if, let's say, somebody's really ready to go ahead and start their own podcast and they're in, they know this is right for them, like, what are some of the first things they should think about?
Perfect, perfect. So I really like getting into action steps here. And when folks start thinking about the very first steps of starting a podcast, typically they're looking for a tactical thing. And I always have a quick timeout to back up and look at this strategically, so that the very first step of starting a podcast is to get very clear about exactly who our audience is for the podcast. So we touched on this before. Oftentimes, this is going to be your best prospect, or the best prospect that you want to move towards in the future. And so that allows you to get crystal clear about who the audience is that you're creating this thing for. Step two really then turns into getting clear about the central goal of the podcast, because there's a couple of ways you can go about it. The goal of the podcast can be to generate more clients. It can also be, Ellen, we were talking about this before, a way for you to just have a good reason to reach out to other professionals in your industry for networking and to build strategic alliances. With those two approaches, that's going to make a big difference on what type of podcast you put together, because we want to be clear about what we're trying to achieve here. So I think having a good idea of what is the outcome that you would really like to see from you creating a podcast, and that will inform a lot of the steps that we kind of take here. So step three is to start thinking about your podcast and what type of episodes will be best for your audience and the goal that you have for the show. So we talked about this as well. Should this be something that you host on your own and it's educational-based content, or is this better suited for an interview-based content? Do I want to be somebody who kind of collects or brings experts to my audience, and it positions me as an industry insider or somebody who's connected with a lot of other individuals with authority? And kind of the sub question from that then is, how long should my episodes be and how often should I release new ones? I see this as a question that some folks get a little bit hung up on, and I'll give you kind of the what I'm seeing work best right now. Is I've seen that statistically, when you listen to podcasts, the listenership or the number of downloads tends to drop off for episodes that are longer than 47 minutes. I think it's, people only have so long of a drive to work, and they see a podcast that's a little bit longer, so they skip it and they go to a different episode. So I tend to recommend shows that are shorter than 47 minutes. And as far as frequency goes, I've found weekly episodes to be a perfect place to start. And at the very beginning of the podcast, you can get started with a consistent rhythm, because part of what we want to do with a podcast is build a habit of people connecting with our content and build it into people's routines. But once you get started, you may find that it's either the audience doesn't need that much content, or the audience would like more and it's something that you're really enjoying and would love to do more of. So I tend to recommend people to start with weekly shows. And once they get live, they can always do more or do less based on audience feedback, based on their personal circumstances and how effective it is. So that's kind of a good you know, those are our first strategy steps, as it were.
Great, great. And fabulous. And to make sure we don't go over 47 minutes, I'm going to tie up our conversation right now. And Ben, now your company helps people along the journey in this, right? If they want to know, like, tactically, like, okay, I want to outsource some of the production of this, that's something you guys can help with. Is that right?
Absolutely. Podcasting can be a bit technical. There's a lot of steps along the way, and there's a lot of back-end stuff like RSS feeds and integrating things with websites and iTunes and Stitcher. And, you know, there's just a lot of moving pieces. And so that's why companies like ours, Cashflow Podcasting, exists. The whole idea is you get to be the host. You get to be the expert. And our team is standing by to handle all of the technical setup, to handle the strategy for you, and to essentially be your guide to make the process as simple and as effective as possible.
Great. So all of you listening out there that are saying, okay, I'm in, I'm ready, you can check out cashflowpodcasting.com, which is Ben's site. They have really great resources there. And you'll learn more about what they're up to. And there's also a lot of free resources on their site that may be helpful for you as well. So, Ben, thank you so much. Is there anywhere else you would like people to connect with you, or just send them to cashflowpodcasting.com? Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, this has been great. It's an absolute pleasure. I'm glad that we could connect, and hopefully listeners are finding this helpful. One thing, you know, as far as other resources, I do get a lot of questions around, you know, hey, how do I get started? What are the actual steps and what does it look like to start a podcast? So I did create a free guide that people can grab. It's thepodcastchecklist.com. And really, it just walks you through, hey, here's the steps of what it looks like to plan, create, and launch a podcast that actually works. So it gives you a good realistic understanding of what podcasting looks like. I don't kind of make it all fluffy and roses because, you know, just like any other strategy, it takes some time, it takes some effort, but the payoffs are well worth it. So that is a resource for folks if they still have questions about podcasting and they're thinking about, you know, what are the steps, what does this look like. But in general, you can connect with me at cashflowpodcasting.com. I'm happy to be a resource for folks and to help in any way I can.
Great. Thank you so much. And again, the free checklist is thepodcastchecklist.com. Ben, so grateful for your time today. Thank you so much. And on my gratitude list, and which he doesn't ever get a shout out and should every single show, is Doug Pierce, who's our producer from Horse's Mouth, who makes this easy for me. So thank you, Doug. And thank you all for listening in. Again, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Take us with you on your run or your long car ride. We're grateful to have you here. And if you want to connect more with me, you can go to ellenrogan.com. And I do have a special download for you if you're interested. That's at ellenrogan.com/whatclientscrave. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And until next time, the question to ponder is, how big of a positive impact are you willing to make? I'm wishing you great success in every area of your life. And remember, be great and create great every single day.